Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you for all those that came out to sit in your presence tonight. I thank you, Father God, that these are true warriors of the cross, that they have determined in their heart they're not going to give up, no matter how hot the fire gives and how hard the battle is. And Father, I'm asking for a special blessing to be poured out upon them tonight. I'm asking, Father God, that you reinforce the shield of protection around about them. And Father, as you send them forth, the angelic host goes with them to fight their battles. And all they have to do is just go forth. And Father, I thank and be the leaders you called them to be. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I was sitting at my desk the other day, and you know, and I always have it on my heart, you know, God, what is it you want me to teach the people? And I just heard the pain of and hurt of letting go. And so I wrote that down, and so I just meditated upon it. And God said, I want you to talk to him about the pain and hurt of letting go, because the body of Christ has not learned how to let it go. They're still holding on to things they need to let go of. You're going to have to determine your heart. You should already have this determined, but I know you don't because you keep backsliding. That God wants holy people. He wants fully committed people. He wants those who will show grace and love. And that he wants people that look just like him. Now, you know, the filling Jesus' shoes is a big task in itself. But we can fill his shoes because he lives in us. If we couldn't do that, God wouldn't command us to do that. He just wouldn't. He never asks us to do something that we're not equipped to do. So I'm just really encouraging each and every one of you, and I know God is removing mantles once again. I'm just really encouraging each and every one of you to hang in there and live a holy life. Live a life of no compromise and live the life that you know that Jesus is calling you to live. He never told you it was going to be easy. Nowhere in my word do I find, I always thought it was going to be easy, but he showed me, nowhere in my word does it show me that it's going to be easy. And he really stressed something on me really strong today. He said he'd start telling me about fasting. And, you know, if you really look in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they fasted often. And the only people that didn't fast even made the animals fast, right? Isn't that what it says? The only people that didn't fast was in the New Testament. It was his disciples. As long as they were with Jesus, they did not have to fast. But he said that once he goes away, then they would have to fast. So, you know, I'm really still contemplating this. I've still had this before the Lord. There is something very unique about fasting. It's a very important ingredient in our walk with God. And if we can't get the fasting down, I don't believe we can get anything down. I mean, because God has dealt with me all day about this fasting. And every time he starts a new thing, every time he starts a new new season, he always requires his leaders to fast. And if we haven't been fasting, we need to get fasting down. You know, we have to get it down pat so we can fast, and that we won't stop our fast. So tonight I'm going to teach on the pain. Hopefully I can get this teaching across, the pain and the hurt of letting go. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." I was talking to Brother Christopher and his wife Catherine before we started, and I said, We are never going to have what we used to have. It's just gone. All the wonderful times we had in the church, you know, all the peace and just joy, joy, joy. We're never going to have that the way it used to be. But we are going to have those things in this new season the way God wants them to be this time. I mean, we have to have joy. We have to have peace. We have to have the light heart if we're going to attract the new converts. But it's not going to be the same as it was. And see, and I'm guilty of this. I know what we had, and I don't like where we're at because we're in between. We're not quite there yet. And I don't like the total darkness. I don't like the feeling like God isn't present. And I know he's always present. And I'm asking, please hurry up. Bring that glory. Because once he brings the glory, people are going to be healed. People aren't going to go back into their old sin nature. Because the glory is going to hit them so strong that they won't want to do those things any longer. They won't want to go back to the past. And right now, the body of Christ is waning and people are dropping out of the body of Christ because they cannot wait for God's glory. They want it now. They don't want to suffer any at all. They want God to drop that glory because they know what it used to be like. And they want that. But God told me, and I kept telling you guys, don't want what we used to have, because what we're going into is so much greater than what we used to have. So don't even think about what you used to have. Get your eyes upon the mark that God's taken us to right now. And keep your eyes on that and want only what he is taking us into. All right? And Matthew 11, so he says, in Isaiah 43 says, do not remember the former things. I have to try to erase that out of my mind. All right. Nor consider the things of old. All right. Matthew 11. Some of you are thinking, well, before I was with you, God, I wasn't suffering. I was high and flying high. Didn't have a care in the world. Right. Well, you know, you can't have that no more. Matthew 11:28 says, come, Jesus speaking, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There it is. If you're heavy laden, take it to God. And he said, he'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. See this? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. Take the Jesus' yoke upon you and learn from him and his yoke. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And if you do that, you will find rest for your souls. So why are you so restless? You're not doing this scripture. Amen? Come on. Over the years, I have observed a lot of people in their walk with God. And I have noticed that the deeper the wound, the harder it is to let go of the pain and pardon the offender. Don't you find that in your deliverance? And I watch people in the church and I listen to what they're saying. I watch their actions and they will not let go of those deep wounds. They just hold on to them and they look at they look for excuses to be offended. Now, you guys, as I'm getting these messages together, I said, God, these people know this. He said, but the people they're going to come in contact don't know these things. So the messages that God is giving isn't really for you per se, even though it is. It is for you to get down into your spirit. So when you go out on the street or when you go in your job or go with your families, you can share with them what you have learned. All right. I said, I have noticed that the deeper the wound, the harder it is to let go of it, the pain and pardon the offender. But isn't that what Jesus did on the cross? We all know what Jesus went through before the cross, right? All the beating and everything he went through. And in Luke 23:34, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. After all he went through, you know, everything he went through, hanging on that cross, they were still mocking him. You read that scripture, they were still mocking him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is something I read. You can't drive life's road without sometimes hitting bumps like regrets, disappointments, and tragedies. You can't drive life's road without sometimes hitting bumps like regrets, disappointments, and tragedies. When you do, it is easy to get stuck there, gazing back into your rearview mirror at the past. I also read the windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror. In other words, the life before you looms big and bright, but looking back at the past, you only see a small portion of truth of what really happened. This was in a really good book I was reading. Now, God wants you to move on toward the future He has planned for you. Are you listening here, guys? God wants you to move on toward the future He has planned for you. It is a future filled with hope. But to get there, you have to turn your focus forward and look through the windshield at the road ahead. We have to quit looking back. Well, if I just wouldn't have married you, look at that beautiful girl there, I could have had her. Isn't that what happens a lot? Come on, it does. I've counseled a lot of people. Well, you know, I could have had this other girl down the road or a guy, whatever. So you're never looking forward. You're always looking back to what you think you could have had. We have to stop that. If you're going to be a vessel of honor used by God, you're going to have to quit looking back at what used to be or what you think could have been. All right, as the result of the curse of Adam and Eve that is still in full operation on this earth, we are all forced to be born into a fallen and cursed world. We are all stuck having to deal with the reality of pure evil in our lives through the activity of demonic spirits and bad and evil people who have chosen with their own free wills to live this life out on the dark side. So listen to what I said there. We are all stuck having to deal with the reality of pure evil in our lives through the activity of demonic spirits. We have to deal with that. We have to say, you know, I have demonic spirits in me. I have dark side in me, and I've got to get rid of that. You have to deal with that. All right? Then we also deal with bad and evil people who have chosen with their own free wills to live this life out on the dark side. You think about Pharaoh, you think about Judas, you think about a lot of people in the Bible who chose to live in the dark side. And if you look at people, and if you're really hearing God's voice, He will tell you who has chosen to follow the enemy. He will tell you who is not of His spirit. Brother Chris was sharing with me the other day, so remember God told you that this one has a different spirit. And you and I had forgotten that. So as I look back over this person's life, I realize that he's a little bit of a conniver. You know, and he will do anything he can to make sure he comes out on top. And where the other one, he's very quiet and he doesn't ever tell anything, tell on anybody, talk about anybody. So there's two different spirits there. The one that's a different spirit has decided to walk on the dark side. And the other one who has a spirit of light in him has decided that he's going to follow Jesus at all costs. Are you seeing this? Come on. I said we have to deal with the devils in us, and we have to deal with people who have decided they're just going to be evil. God told me one time, daughter, you can't save everybody. Everybody is not destined for heaven. They have, with their own free will, chosen to go the other way. He said, you cannot change their heart. If I can't change it, you can't change it. And how many of you have thought or still think you can change everybody? You can't do that. I like to warn myself, but I killed myself trying to change everybody. You know, you can't do that. That's a each one of us have to choose which road we're going to follow. I can't make you believe the word. I can't do that. You get the word and you do with it what you want to. All right, so then as a result, every single one of us will get hurt to some degree and to some extent in this life. There's just no getting around that. I wished I'd have known all this when I first got born again. I could have really saved myself a whole lot of heartache and tears. All right? And for many, some of these hurts will end up being extreme and traumatic. All right, and I know that some of you sitting here, this has been happening. This has happened to you. This is why the Bible tells us that we have to learn how to become good soldiers of Jesus Christ and learn how to put on and apply the real armor of God for our lives. Let's read that again. This is why the Bible, it's not me, the Bible tells us that we have to learn how to become good soldiers of Jesus Christ and learn how to put on and apply the real armor of God for our lives. All of us, to some degree, have issues from our past that have to be properly dealt with before we can proceed to walk into the perfect plan of God for our lives. If you don't deal with those issues, the devil's going to trip you up and you'll never finish your destiny. You're going to have to be honest. See, you don't want, some people don't want to be honest with themselves. They're so full of pride. I've always been right. I've never done anything wrong. Yes, you have. There isn't one of us in this room that has not done something wrong in their lifetime. Nothing. I mean, no one. I know for a fact that recently God has been bringing up our past so he can begin to clean up any wreckage that may have occurred. Have you noticed that God is making you look back and seeing where you came from, right? Before you can move forward into the divine destiny that God has in store for you in this life, you have to deal with some specific things that may have occurred in your past. Why has God been bringing up our past? One thing is so you can learn from your past. I didn't write this down, but another thing is so you can quit thinking you're God and you're perfect. He will show you some of the good things you did and some of the bad things you did. Why? So you can learn from those past mistakes and not repeat them in the future. I always said to God, God, if you would just give me another set of kids, I've learned from my mistakes and I would raise them differently. I've raised three sets of children and I've raised three sets of children and I do them all the same. I haven't changed anything. I still make the same mistakes. See, I didn't learn. Are you listening here? So don't kid yourself and say, well, if you just give me another chance, Lord, I'll do it differently. I had two marriages. I did the same mistakes in the second as I did in the first. Walked around blinders on. And thinking I was, didn't make any mistakes. Come on. Be honest with yourself. Where am I at? Sometimes God has to bring up your past so you are not so harsh on others. He will show you how he has been behind the scenes the entire time and how he eventually worked things out, in your own life. Always remember, God will take you back in your past for a reasonable length of time. Now, look what you're reading. So why? So you can directly deal with certain issues and problem areas that he is targeting, that God is targeting. But after that time and season has passed, you will then need to let your past fully go and concentrate and focus on the present and future as to where God will now be taking you. Come on. God will do it, work with you so long, and then he's okay, now you finish it. You get rid of it. If you don't, you'll never fulfill your destiny. This is all true because this is how God's been dealing with me lately. All right? I have noticed that no matter what God has spoken over you or how mightily the Spirit has moved upon you, you are still bound up in your past. I watch this all the time with the altar calls. And as a result, you cannot fully live in your present. You do notice, you can see it in the altar call. People cry and they wail and they weep. They get up and they go right out there and do the very same thing that God said he wanted to take away from them. What God is saying is we don't fully relinquish everything to him when we come to the altar. We just release those things that are really bothering us. And those other little things, we can deal with them. But there's some things that you just need to get out of your life. So that's all you give to him. And there's always there always remains an open door. Now this does, if this shoe fits, put it on. And if it doesn't, if you aren't in any of these categories, that's fine. Then don't put the shoe on. But whatever you do, don't get mad at me. All right? Come on. I have to teach you what God tells me to teach you. All right, I said, I have noticed that no matter what God has spoken over you or how mightily the Spirit has moved upon you, you are still bound up in your past, and as a result, you cannot fully live in your present. There will simply come a day and time that you will have to let your past and all of the hurts from your past completely go. If you do not learn how to let your past fully go, you will stay stuck and grounded right where you're at, and that will be an eternal regret that you will carry with you once you enter into heaven. And the Lord shows you how much more you could have accomplished for him in this life had you allowed him to unchain you from your hurtful past. The choice is yours. You know what keeps me going? Because I know what God's called me to do, and I don't want to go to heaven and have him say, look what you could have had if you wouldn't have given up. Look what you could have done. Look at all these lives that could have been saved. Look at the healing miracles that would have happened if you wouldn't have given up. That bugs me. And I tell devil, I'm going on. I'm going on. You're not going to stop my destiny. And just recently, God's had me go way back from when I first started 40 years ago. And how mightily God used me. You know, and he even, something I forgot, he even had me interviewed on the radio. And, you know, and people would call me from all over. And pastors would come and they'd say, you have such a great anointing from God. But, you know, nobody ever told me what to do with that anointing. And God told me, my Holy Spirit will always teach you. I don't want man teaching, I want the Holy Spirit to teach you. Excuse me. Why did he do it that way? Because he knew what my ministry was going to be all about. And he didn't want me listening to man's voice. Because I had a great calling 40 years ago. And I accomplished what God wanted me to accomplish. But man in the church, you know, women, tried to stop me. Tried to tell me I was wrong. And I had to fight through all that. I go home many nights and cry out to God. And he always gave me peace and brought me through it. So, you know, when you have a great ministry that God has taken you into, the enemy is going to be after you like you wouldn't believe. And he's not going to let you go. He's trying to take you out. Just like the young man said on the video we watched, he's trying to kill you. He doesn't want you to reach your destiny. And it amazes me how many in the body of Christ give in to him. Well, when they get to hell, you know, and he's down there tormenting them, it's going to be too late. Now is when you have to make up your mind. Devil, you are not in control of my life. You are not going to manipulate and control me. You are not going to take away my ministry. And go on and on and on and on and on until he understands he has to let you alone. All right, I said, when the Lord shows you how much you could have accomplished for him in his life, had you allowed him to unchain you from your hurtful past, the church's choice is yours. Many of God's eagles never learn to fly with the wings that he has given them because they could not get unbound from the chains of their hurtful past. Remember, for about a year, God had me tell you, quit being chickens with your head, you know, pecking at the dirt. He said, look up and fly like the eagles. He was saying, let go of your past. Let go of them hurts. Let go of that dumb stuff. Matthew 20, verse 16 says, so the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. A year ago, I was standing right there, and God said, this is a season when the first are going to be last, and the last are going to be first. In other words, he said, you had a mantle. You wouldn't let go of your past. You kept wanting to live in the past, so I'm taking your mantle, and I'm going to give it to somebody that doesn't know anything about me. That happened right here in this church. God has been calling his children to come up higher into their higher calling for their lives. But many are not being chosen because they simply could not let go of their hurtful past. Many are called, few are chosen. God will not override your free will in this area. He doesn't do it in any area. Everybody will have to make this choice for themselves. That is why the Bible tells us we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We haven't gotten that concept down yet either. I'm totally standing in awe at how much of the word you guys know, because you quoted to me, you stand up and you're teaching, yet you're still bound up in yesterday. That's not good. What did God tell you? If you're not going to live it, then don't preach it. If you stand behind this pulpit, he said, if you're not going to live it, don't preach it. I see people stand behind this pulpit and say things they're not living. I would be afraid to do that. Because Ananias and Sapphira did that, and the Holy Spirit killed them, right? Jesus said in his word in Luke 9:61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Once you start out for God and you take your hand off the plow, you're not fit for God to use. Notice Jesus said, no one who keeps looking back on his past is fit for his kingdom. And the words, no one, is an all-inclusive word. It means all of us, no exceptions. If you think this is hard, it's not. I stayed up all night long getting this together. I've crawled in bed at 8:45. Set up all night. I just could not get it together. Not the way God wanted it. I wanted to be nice and quiet, you know, and simple. But that's not the way God wants it. He needs to get our attention. I don't know why he just doesn't take a board and smack us with it alongside the head, you know. He's done all he can do. It's up to us now to follow through. So I said, Jesus said, no one who keeps looking back on his past is fit for his kingdom. The words no one is an all-inclusive word that means all of us, no exceptions. And Paul states in Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Why? That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He said, I'm not perfected, and I'm going to press on through. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I don't count myself to have apprehended, to know everything, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the... What if all he thought about and talked about was how they kept throwing him in jail? He would have never done anything great for God. He had to leave those things behind him. And he had to keep pressing on. And, you know, knowing that he was going to be put in another prison, he had to keep... He didn't fight with God and say, why are you allowing me to sit in these prisons? He just kept pressing on, kept working for God. Paul said, one thing I do. Paul does this on a regular and consistent basis. One thing I do. Then Paul ends this verse really putting everything in proper perspective when he says that what he is wanting to press forward on is the upward call of God. All he sees is what God is calling him to do. He doesn't see anything else. He just sees what God is calling him to do. He doesn't see the fact that you're called to fast. He doesn't see the fact that your wife doesn't get up and get your breakfast. He doesn't see the fact that people sneer at you. He doesn't see the fact that people get offended at the word. All he sees is what God has called him to do. See, he had his eyes fixed on the prize. He had his eyes fixed on heaven, and nothing was going to take his eyes off of heaven. What did God tell us? Place your eyes upon me and quit looking at your circumstances. I've never seen so many people look at the circumstances in all my life as what I have in the past year. moaning, groaning, and complaining like you wouldn't believe. Our Father in heaven has a specific plan and destiny for each person who will come to me and come to him and fully surrender their entire lives into his hands. But you will never be able to press forward and fly up into this upward and high calling unless you first learn how to let go of your past. All of us have a certain amount of baggage that we carry from our past. Some of us carry lighter loads than others. So I said, all of us have a certain amount of baggage that we carry from our past. Some of us carry lighter loads than others. Some have learned how to let go of their past because they have found out that it will seriously damage their walk with the Lord and what he wants to do with their lives. They have found that carrying around some of the baggage from their past and constantly dwelling on it will steal their joy and happiness in the Lord. They have found out that it will distort and warp their thinking. These kinds of people have managed to break away from their past so they can fully live and operate in the call of God for their lives. Are you one of those people? I want you to really think about what you're hearing here tonight. But many other people have not managed to break free from their past. They are still mired down in the hurts and injustices of their past and cannot seem to get any victory over any of it, either in their thinking or in their emotions. I'm dealing with somebody right now that I've dealt with for 40 years. They haven't moved one iota forward at all. They're still stuck in that place. We're talking about how many injustices were done to them. And then they blame God because he can't move forward. But they won't listen to anything that they're being told by anybody that's counseling them. And they're stuck in that place. All right, so for those who are still stuck in your past, to some degree, ask God to help you out of all this junk. And I've told this person, you've got to take this to God. God is the only one who's going to, I can't unstick you. It's between you and God. And you take it to God, he will help you. Well, he's caused this to happen. So they're saying, I'm not taking it to God, right? Because in their mind, God caused it all to happen, and God did not do what was right. I'm dealing with somebody else right now who says, God isn't real. Why isn't God real? Because whenever they cried out to God, he didn't give them what they thought they needed. He did for them what they really did need, but not what they wanted, so now they've rejected God. Are you listening here? And I don't care what I say or do, and I say and do a lot, God, 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 you know. I have not been able to change their mind because they're stuck in that place where they thought God should have done something differently than what he did. And they're blaming God. And there is no God in their eyes. All right? All right, for those who are still stuck in your past to some degree, ask God to help you out of all this junk. The first thing God will ask you to do, if there is another individual involved, is to forgive that person. Before God can move to supernaturally heal you from the pain, torment, and wounds that were inflicted upon you in your past, you will first have to be willing to fully forgive this person and let that person go into the hands of God for his vengeance, justice, and payback. You can't hold on to anything. You have to fully, totally, and completely. I don't care how much pain they put you through. I don't care what it cost you. You're going to have to fully forgive them and move on. That's why God says, never forget from whence you came. Because at one point in your life, you were hurting other people yourself. And you needed their forgiveness. But we forget that, don't we? We just think that we've never hurt anybody, did anything wrong. But we went out by George, we went the other person hurt us. We want to make them pay. I told you a story about my first husband when I was born again. And I found out that if he just asked God to come into his heart, that he'd be forgiven and go to heaven. I'd had a fit about that. I wanted him to suffer. I wanted him to be crucified. I wanted him just to suffer as much as I suffered. That poor pastor, 3 months, I know I drove her crazy. Finally, she convinced me that I had to totally and completely forgive him, or I wasn't going anywhere. I was going to end up in hell, and he would be in heaven. That really got my attention. I really didn't want to be in hell while he was in heaven enjoying himself after all the pain he put me through. So then I worked at forgiving him. I worked at, you know, I worked at making, you know, seeing that I was to blame too because I allowed things to happen. And when you allow things to happen, then quit, don't fuss about what does happen to you. So I was guilty of that. When everything is all finally said and done, you will see that God has been righting all the wrongs ever done to you in this life. This is why you can let the worst of your enemies go into the hands of God. If you are willing to truly forgive this person, then God will move in, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, heal up those wounds so you can no longer feel them. And that's exactly what he did with me. That's exactly what he always does to me. So I don't mind forgiving people because I'm the one that's getting blessed. That isn't the reason why I do it. I do it because God commands us to do it. But, you know, I'm getting more of a blessing than they are when I forgive people. God will not take away the actual memory of the event, but he can take away the actual pain, trauma, and torment. Now, remember I said that God will not take away the actual memory of the event. And I say that because I still remember things I've done or things I've gone through, you know. Even though they don't bother me, but, you know, I still think, you know, they pop into my mind every now and then. But he can take away the actual pain, trauma, and torment associated with the event. Why? So you can then get on with the rest of your life and not have to keep thinking about it all the time. In time, you will see that the actual memory of the event will fade and you will no longer even remember it. And see, this is what's happened to me over my lifetime. The kids will say to me, "Don't you remember?" I said, "No, I don't." And I don't care to go back there either. I said, "It's not doing me anything. I have enough clutter in my mind without remembering junk that happened to me 50 years ago. Don't you?" We don't have to remember those things. We've given everything to God, and we are God's child. We're walking in the feet of Jesus, the footsteps of Jesus, and we're better off than the world is. Always remember our past as a part of who we are and who we have become in the Lord. If you really look at your life, your past has made you stronger. You know, and when you minister other people, you can minister out of what you went through and, you know, and tell them God can help them too. So always remember our past is a part of who we are and who we have become in the Lord. Even some of the bad things in our past have been used by God to shape, mold, and transform us into the kind of person he wants us to become in him. Even the bad things. Bottom line here. You have to learn how to let fully go of your past before you can start to proceed full steam ahead in your divine destiny for the Lord. Now, you can either choose to stay fully bound up in your past, continue to throw pity parties and blame everyone and everything for your miseries, or you can choose to rise up and make a brand new, fresh start with the Lord by choosing to fully surrender your entire life into his hands. Let's read that again. You can either choose to stay fully bound up in your past, continue to throw pity parties and blame everyone and everything for your miseries, or you can choose to rise up and make a brand new fresh start with the Lord by choosing to fully surrender your entire life into his hands. And then work with him to get your past fully cleaned up so that you can then start to fully live in the present again and then fly like an eagle into the divine destiny that he has already planned out for your life. Now, I've got to go back and say something. You know, my daughter, Teresa Ann, is here, and she treats me wonderfully. She really does, but I still don't want to be a burden to her when I get older. I don't want to do that to any of my kids. All right, remember you only get one chance in the eternal scheme of things to leave your mark in this world to some degree for the Lord. You only get one chance. All right? God does have a specific plan and purpose for your life. He has a list of the divine assignments that he wants you to complete for him before you go home to be with him for all of eternity. Now, we have learned through the past couple of years that we don't have just one assignment. We have many assignments. And just whenever we get through one, we say, phew, the next one's already started. He doesn't give us any breathing space, does he? So it's just not one assignment, it's many assignments. But what he wants us to do is to complete the first assignment and complete it well so he can set us on another assignment. And if we failed our assignment, he'll let us go around the mountain until we're ready to get out, to quit going around the mountain, and then he'll be there, and then he'll move us on. Because he told me that one time, remember? Do not let a few bad apples and a few bad events, no matter how bad they may have been, stop and prevent you from becoming everything that God is calling you to become in him. Do not let a few bad apples, people, and a few bad events, no matter how bad they may have been, stop and prevent you from becoming everything that God is calling you to become in him. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. We have to have faith to do this walk, guys. And that's just a given. Without faith, we couldn't do anything for anything that we're doing. This verse tells us that we can overcome any of the bad people and any of the bad events from our past with the divine help of our faith. All right? We know the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Godhead helps us, but we have to have faith before things can start into motion. God's supernatural help can pull you out of any of the bad and negative emotions that may be preventing you from entering into his perfect plan for your life. God's supernatural help can pull you out of any one of the bad and negative emotions that may be preventing you from entering into his perfect plan for your life. But like Peter in his story of getting out of the boat to supernaturally walk on water, you will have to be willing to step out of the boat, grab a hold of God's hand, and work with the Holy Spirit to help get you cleaned up so that you can fully and finally let your past go. Now, I don't know why Isaiah said this yesterday, but he came into the office and he said, I can walk on water. I said, and Gabriel said, no, you can't. I said, yes, he can. And he looked at me and he said, with God's help, my mom, I can walk on water. I said, you sure can. And if you find a mud puddle out there, you go ahead and walk on top of that mud puddle. And he said, I know I can walk on water. You know, I don't know why he brought this up, but, you know, he just knows he's a water walker. I think that's powerful. It really is. I wish we had that much faith. That was one, when I first got born again, that was one thing I couldn't have enough faith to do. I'd go to that mud puddle and I'd say, can I? Can I really walk? I believed everything else except walking in that water. I'm going to walk in that water, though. I'm going to be like little Isaiah. We're to go hand in hand and walk in that water. Amen. Many of God's eagles have had their wings totally broken. Before an eagle of God can really start to fly into the heights that God has in store for them in this life, that eagle has to break off any chains that may be holding them back. You have seen a lot of people in the body of Christ be so totally whipped and bruised and downtrodden that they really and truly can't get back up on their own. Amen. And I said, that eagle has to break off any chains that may be holding them back. We need to help the eagles, the other eagles that are broken and bruised. We need to help bring them to the forefront again. You know, one time God said that his church was like a hospital. But he said, we don't help each other when we're down. We kick each other when we're down. We walk on and we laugh because somebody fell. And we're not supposed to do that. We don't want to be like the hospitals. We want to be like God's hospital. And when someone's down, we have to grab them by the hand and pick them back up again. All right, I said, that eagle has to break off any chains that may be holding them back. These chains are keeping some of God's eagles grounded. And for many of God's eagles, some of these chains are things they are still holding on to from their past. You know, why are you mad because you're not in your ministry right now? There's still something in you that's holding you back, that if God put you in your ministry now, you would fail. Then you'd blame God. So instead of being angry at God because you're not in your ministry right now, thank Him that He is all-knowing and all-seeing, and He is keeping you from making one of the biggest mistakes in your life. Once you're able to let your past fully go, then you'll be ready to fly as a true eagle of God into the divine plan that He has set up for you in your life. I see so many young people come into the house of God, and they've heard one encouraging word from God, a prophetic word, and they think they're King Kong. They think they're ready to start a church and you know, destroy the world of all darkness. And until they get that mindset broken, they're not going anywhere. When God called me, I said, I don't want to do this. You know, I'm a good person behind the scene. Let somebody else do it. God said, I called you to do it. You're going to do it. You know, so I had to do it. I didn't have to, but, you know, I wanted to please the Father. So what are you doing? Are you waiting for the perfect timing to, I could go out here and buy a building, you know. I could get a loan and buy a building and move out of here, but it wouldn't be God's will. You know, I don't like this building. It's all dilapidated, you know, and to go to the bathroom, the walls are caving in, and I don't know if I'm going to be sitting in the bathroom or down the basement. You know what I'm saying? I could go out there and get a beautiful building, but that's not God's plan for my life right now. So I have to sit still and wait. All right. All right, I said, once you're able to let your past fully go, then you will be ready to fly as a true eagle of God into the divine plan that He has set up for you and your life. The choice is yours. You can either choose to let the hurts, wounds, and pains from your past continue to strangle and paralyze you, or you can choose to say enough is enough and give God a chance and a green light to free you from the bad things that may have occurred in your past. How many of you have said, enough, devil, enough is enough? I'm done with this mess. I say that more anymore than any other thing I say. Because he keeps on and on and on and on and on. And finally I said, enough is enough. My grand says, oh, there you go again. I'm not dealing with any more devil, right? I went around this mountain with you long enough. God's power and his help is right there for you. If you are willing to take his hand and allow him to bring you up out of it. The word tells us Jesus came to set the captives free. My question, why are you still in bondage? I had an encounter with somebody last night, you know, and not with them personally, but, you know, it involved me. And they were putting all the blame on somebody else. I said, when are they ever going to stop and take the blame where it belongs? On them too. It's just not a one-way street. And people do that, don't they? They don't want to straighten up. They don't want to quit their mess, but they keep blaming somebody else to make their self look good. Are you guys going to quit doing that? Are you going to own up to your part of whatever's going on in your life? And say, devil, enough is enough. And say, God, enough is enough. And I'm ready now to turn my life totally and completely fully to you. And I just want you to take my hand and walk with me. I don't want to live in my past. Well, if my mother would have been different, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. Get out of here with that kind of junk. You know, you're doing what you're doing because you want to do it. I know you've had plenty of deliverances. You've had plenty of people around you to encourage you. And you're the one that needs to start changing. Not the people around you, but you need to start changing. You need to get a brand new mindset. You need to say, I'm the one that's at fault here because God's made a way of escape and I haven't taken it. Well, you know, I've really steeped into this sin. Get out. I don't want to hear that junk either. I really don't. You're saying that because you still want to stay here because God told me this years ago about somebody I was dealing with. They're saying that because they like their sin. They like what it does for them. And they're just using excuses to stay in it because they want the enjoyment of it. Well, you go ahead. You can go to hell. You know, if you enjoy it so much, that's where it'll take you. And then once you're there, it's too late. Right? So what was the title here? The Pain and the Hurt of Letting Go. Which is worse? Having the pain and hurt and letting go, or keeping hold of the past and having the pain of and hurt in hell? This is a very serious thing that God has taught us tonight. God told me before I ever started this, he said, this is why my people are dying. This is why they're leaving the church. They won't let go of the past. They won't look towards their future. They keep looking at what they used to have. He said, which really was nothing. Amen. Come on. We have to start enjoying what God has given us, but keep moving forward and not holding on to what he gave us, but moving forward to what he has for us. Father, I thank you and I praise you tonight for your word. I thank you, Father God, for your anointing that destroys every yoke. And Father God, you know exactly what it is that your children have need of. And so we just stand in your presence right now, waiting for instructions. And God said to tell you that there is a way out. There's always been a way out. But you have to choose to take that way out. And if you are choosing tonight to let go of all of your past, never, ever, ever to pick it up again. And yet this is what you have to choose, never, ever to pick it up again. Then God said he has an anointing that will destroy that yoke. And you will never, ever be bound in that bondage ever again.